Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either desire or deserve, pour upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I'll never forget the first time I rode the Texas Giant roller coaster at Six Flags over Texas in Arlington. I was never a big fan of roller coasters because I really don't like heights. When I watched people ride the ride, though, I noticed the roller coaster moved and swayed because it was made completely of wood. That did not comfort me one bit. And when you got off the ride, you could see a picture of yourself that was taken briefly at the midway point. And I would look at people's faces on the screens, and they oftentimes looked like this. That didn't give me any confidence either. But eventually, I succumbed to the persuasion of my friends, and I got on the ride. And so as the ride got to the very top, there was this sign that wasn't reassuring at all. It was a picture of Wile E. Coyote. And it said something to this effect, you sure you want to go through with this? But at that point, obviously, it was way too late. I think faith is like a roller coaster. It's a journey full of ups and downs and twists and turns and upside downs. Faith is a much bigger deal than many of us oftentimes make it out to be. But I've often been encouraged when I look at the faith of many of the characters and figures within Scripture. And I'm encouraged because what I see in the pages of God's Word is real and authentic. Their relationship with God is more multifaceted than what we usually project upon them. What do I mean by that? Well, we see people giving adoration to God. We see people bargaining with Him. We see people interceding to Him. We see people arguing with Him. We see people yielding to His sovereignty. We see people complaining. We see people walking with Him even though they don't have the big perspective that He has, even though they can only see what's right in front of them. And we see people questioning how long they have to endure a season of challenging circumstances. And during these challenging seasons, the thing that I think pops up most within figures of Scripture is this: why me? Why me? There was a man named Victor, and he was sitting on a packed train heading to Budapest. And he was a bee expert and hungry. And he was carrying a box of bees that he had put under his seat. And the scenery was lovely, and there was a slight cool breeze that was coming in from an open window. Well, Victor made polite conversation with a passenger next to him, and then he felt it. He felt it. Several things were crawling up his leg. He quickly pulled up his pant leg and noticed that his bees had escaped. Not panicking, he asked the other passengers to leave the car while he recaptured the bees, which would also involve him disrobing just a little bit. Well, the passengers cleared the car, and Victor began to take his pants off. But just as he took his pants off, there was an express train coming by, and it created a draft that blew his pants into the corridor, wrapping around a conductor. And so a startled onlooker pulls the emergency brake, bringing the train to a sudden stop and somehow even causing a fire. Well, train officials swarmed in to the tragic scene, and they saw Victor without his pants on. And assuming that he must have some kind of mental condition, they bundled him and took him off to the nearest mental hospital, where it took him 3 days to convince everyone that he was sane. Well, what a terrible day. What a terrible day. And I think it's most reasonable that many times throughout that day and the 3 days in the hospital, he's asking himself, why me? Why me? Well, how many times have we ended up asking that question in our day-to-day life? Why me? Why me? Scripture says that the just will live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is a roller coaster of ups and downs and twists and turns and upside downs. And throughout this journey that is faith, we all have to learn to lean into the everlasting arms. So if you'd like to follow along this morning, we'll be beginning at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, found on page 559. The first complaint by the prophet is what people call the problem of evil. It's not just a little problem, it's a very big problem. Why does God allow it? Why does God allow evil? I'm sure most of us either have thought this or prayed what Habakkuk prays. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry out, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by a people who love to argue and to fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. Does what Habakkuk is describing sound familiar to you for our culture today? Yeah. 2016 has been an incredible year of hatred and violence and misery, not just in our country, but around the world. We have seen the evil of racism. We have seen violence. We have seen the corruption of our political system and financial institutions. We have witnessed that there is no justice in the courts. If you're anything like me, anything, you're not just saying, why me? You're saying, why us? Why us? And that's exactly what Habakkuk is doing here. He's a spokesperson for the entire community. Why us, O Lord? Why us? And he gets an answer. But it's not the reply he's expecting. It's a twist and a turn on the roller coaster of faith. And so he has to learn to lean into the everlasting arms and trust in God's sovereignty and his ineffable plan. So what is God's response to him? It's simply this. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. I bet Habakkuk paused for a moment trying to grasp this. Say what? Surely you can't be serious. I am. And don't call me Shirley. But then we see his second complaint. He is bold before the Lord. His faith is revealed here. He says, O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you don't plan to wipe us out. See, I told you he said Shirley. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins, but you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treasury? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? In other words, how can God use a sinful nation for his purposes? How can he do it? Well, one, because he's God. And two, because he's used nations before to discipline and correct his people when they have rebelled and gone their own way, when they have broken the covenant relationship between them and the Lord. And in the end, those nations that he uses to bring correction to his people end up being judged themselves. But what are we supposed to do when God answers in a way that we don't expect, or we don't really like, or we don't really understand? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to trust him. We're supposed to trust him. He's got a perspective that we don't have. Even though we may not understand or fathom why he allows certain things to unfold or why he intervenes in ways we don't expect, the roller coaster of faith calls us all to lean into his everlasting arms. And we see that that's what the prophet is doing as he's seeking a reply here at the beginning of chapter 2. Notice what he says. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait. I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. He's waiting. He's leaning in. He's trusting even though he doesn't really understand. Well, our psalm this morning reminds us of the same thing, to lean into the arms of the Lord. Do we need to be reminded of this? Yes. Obviously, yes. This is a psalm of David. Much of it has to do with what? The problem of evil and the affairs of the wicked. But the assuring image is that the Lord is our shepherd. He provides for his people. He leads them. He guides them. He defends them. He corrects them. He disciplines them. He tenderly cares for them. The psalm is a call to trust in the Lord. It's a song of faith. Even when things don't make sense, believe. Even when things don't make sense, trust. Even when things don't make sense, learn to lean in. The shepherd knows the terrain that you're currently on. He knows what you're currently going through. And he calls you to trust in him, to delight in him, to wait upon him, to lean into his everlasting arms. He calls each of us to have faith. But how much faith? How much? In our gospel passage this morning, we hear the disciples asking Jesus for something good. Lord, increase our faith. Give us more. They simply wanted more. They asked for more. It's good to ask for more. It shows that there's a hunger, that there's a desire. So what does Jesus do? He starts talking about a mustard seed. Why? Why does he do that? A mustard seed is really small, and they're asking for something really big. For Jesus, it's not about the size of faith, but rather, if faith is present at all. A mustard seed may appear really small, but have you ever tasted a mustard seed? It's really powerful. It's potent. In other words, just a small amount of faith, a mustard seed of faith, can do amazing and marvelous things. So the Lord is looking for faith in us, even if it's a mustard seed. Even if we think it's really tiny. He's looking for each of us to lean into him, to trust him, to have faith in him. I had to lean in a lot when we started this church. All I had was a mustard seed of faith. And I wasn't the only one, there were others. But we who have established this church know full well the power of God. We know what a tiny bit of faith is capable of. And we have learned how to trust and to lean even more into those strong and loving arms. I still have to lean even now. I'll never stop, not ever. None of us will. Faith is a key part of our lives. We are saved by faith in Christ. We live by faith in Christ. We walk by faith in Christ. We breathe by faith in Christ. And he continually calls us to lean into his everlasting arms, which bore in love for us the sins of the world upon the cross. He's strong enough to hold you and whatever you're currently facing. He's strong enough to hold me and whatever I'm dealing with. He is simply strong enough. Lean in. Lean in. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble. But that he would leave us his peace. He wasn't kidding about that. There is perfect peace when we rest and recline in his arms. We have all come here this morning with something in our lives where we need to trust him more. It could be something related to our health, to family, to a job, to a calling, to whatever it is. We know that in this world, there's bound to come some trouble, regardless. Or to put it another way, if anything can go wrong, it will. In 1949, Edward Murphy was an engineer working on Air Force Project MX-981. And the project was designed to see how sudden deceleration, how much a person could sustain in a crash. Well, one day after finding a transducer wrongly wired, Murphy cursed the technician and said, if there is any way to do it wrong, he'll find it. Well, the project manager kept a list of laws, and he added this one to them, which he called Murphy's Law. And today we know it by this: if anything can go wrong, it will. Jesus taught us this 2,000 years earlier. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. We know things are going to go wrong. We know they are. It's what we do and how we respond that makes all the difference. When trouble comes, the temptation is to always take our eyes off of Jesus, to focus on the choppiness of the waves, to focus on the darkness of the storm clouds coming our way, to shudder at the force of the magnitude of the wind. These are the times when we need to lean into Jesus the most. And it takes faith to do that. And it doesn't take a whole lot of it. Just the mustard seed. Just a tiny bit. Even a little bit of faith can do amazing and astonishing and phenomenal things. So how do we lean into these arms? Well, firstly, I think we can follow the lead of our buddy Habakkuk. He brought his complaints to God. He brought his complaints to God. That's how he leaned in. He didn't become detached from the Lord because of the injustices that he saw. He pressed in. We can bring our complaints about the injustices that we see and experience, whether they be personal or whether there's something at the culture at large. We can bring those complaints to the Lord. And we have to be prepared that the response we might get might not be what we expect it to be. But we can most certainly bring our complaints to the Lord. There's a lot of people that struggle with this. I can't complain to the Lord. That very notion of bringing your complaints to the Lord is real. And it's authentic. It's real and it's authentic. It's just like with any other person. How many of you have brought complaints to me? Most of you have. It's real and it's authentic. You can do the same thing with the Lord. Okay? Just be real. Press in. But wait and be prepared for his response. Secondly, we have to keep this imagery of the shepherd and the sheep in our minds. Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is leading us and he's guiding us. And he has promised us that he will never forsake us. Not ever. No matter what trouble may come, he is with us. And how often are we still enough just to ponder that? That he is with us, regardless of whether we feel him or not. The feelings are not what's important, because we sometimes just base everything off of feelings. What we need to have faith in is not our feelings, but the promises of God. And Jesus has promised us that he will be with us always. Always. Regardless of whether we feel him or not, we know that he who has promised that is faithful and true. And he's not going to lie to us. He can't do that. He's with us always. So we sheep need to be still. Still. And know that we are always in the presence of the Good Shepherd, even in those challenging times, even when we cannot see what he sees, even when we cannot feel him. Trust in his promises. Lean in to his everlasting arms. Well, finally, let us never forget what can be accomplished with just a little bit of faith. Just a small amount of faith. A mustard seed may be tiny, but it's powerful. The same is true with faith. It's not wrong to ask for more faith. I should think we all would want more. But even a little bit, just a little bit, can do extraordinary things. So where in your life is the Lord calling you to lean into him more? Because we've all brought something with us today where we need to trust him more. Where is the Lord calling you to lean into him more? One of my favorite images from all of Scripture comes from John's Gospel at the Last Supper. And there we see the beloved disciple reclining into Jesus, resting in Jesus. That's the kind of relationship that he had with the Lord. It was a relationship of trust and faith and love. As we come to the Lord's table now, let us lean into the arms of love, the very arms that lead us through the scary places and the scary seasons in this life, the very arms that carry us when we no longer have the strength to stand or to walk or to go on. When we say, God, I just can't do it. I can't get out of bed this morning. I'm so depressed. I can't get out of bed and face what I have to face today. It is the very arms of love that carry us. The very arms that shepherd us across the valley of the shadow of death, for we all will die, that carry us through the valley of the shadow of death to a new heaven and a new earth and resurrected bodies where each day will be better than the one that came before. It just keeps getting better and better. That's our shepherd. That's our shepherd. We will never, ever stop leaning into his arms, ever. So we've seen that faith is a roller coaster, and that faith can be challenging at times, but we are never alone on the journey, even when we think that we are. We never are. So don't try to give in to the feelings, I'm alone. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You have the communion of saints. You're never alone. Christ is with us always. He's with his people. He's in you. He's in me. Even now, have faith, trust, and lean into him. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.